Wisconsin is in the midst of major problems in the youth correctional system. There's been a long-running scandal at the Lincoln Hills facility in northern Wisconsin, with allegations of abuse and neglect leading to a Department of Justice raid and an ongoing FBI investigation.
And a Milwaukee County facility was in the news this week because of a major staffing shortage at a time when county officials want to keep young offenders closer to home instead of sending them to the troubled Lincoln Hills facility.
This all comes as the nation is rethinking juvenile corrections and the prison system in general. Michelle Deitch joins us now with a look at what's going on around the country and maybe some possible lessons for us here in Wisconsin. She's an attorney and senior lecturer at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. Michelle, thanks for joining us today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Well, here in Wisconsin, we've got issues of understaffing at our youth correctional facilities, overcrowding in some of them, and then this huge scandal over abuse and neglect in one major facility with a raid of that facility. Is Wisconsin unique? Are we seeing stories like this elsewhere in the country, too?
Well, I think wherever you've got large correctional facilities, we are starting to see problems for youth in those facilities. It's certainly not unique, though it is truly problematic.
Starting to see problems? Now, is this the case that things are getting worse in youth facilities, or we're finding out about conditions that may have been there all along?
I think in some ways they really are getting worse. We certainly had our share of problems here in Texas over the last decade.
And is there enough oversight and transparency at general and youth correctional facilities? And if not, is that part of the answer people should be looking at?
I actually think that's a huge part of the problem. Correctional facilities have always been places that are very closed. They're lacking in transparency. They're lacking in accountability. And that means we don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. We find that when we can put in place some kind of oversight mechanism, some kind of monitoring body that can go into the facilities, talk to the youth, identify problems, and bring those problems to public attention and to the attention of public officials, there tends to be a greater opportunity to correct those problems and improve the facilities.
If I recall correctly, you were part of an effort to inventory what every state was doing when it comes to that kind of oversight. Are there states that you see as good models for that kind of transparency in youth correctional institutions?
I do. And in fact, Texas provides an excellent model on this front. 10 years ago, Texas was having problems that are not completely dissimilar to what you're experiencing there now. We had a sexual abuse scandal involving kids in our juvenile facilities, as well as a lot of violence and other sorts of problems. One of the steps that legislators took to address this issue was to create an independent ombudsman for the juvenile system. The ombudsman is an office or an individual with staff, and they go and monitor conditions in the facilities. They secure the rights of the youth. They interview the youth. They talk to them all the time and find out what's going on. And they draw attention to the problems these kids are having and to systemic problems in the facilities. It's been remarkably helpful in addressing some of the issues of violence and understaffing and the treatment of youth.
So far, we've focused on youth who are in these often large correctional facilities, but there seems to be a conversation, a question going on, should we be incarcerating as many juvenile offenders as we do? Is this something that we're moving away from? Are we finding alternatives to a prison-like situation for youth?
Absolutely. This is something that we've become increasingly aware of all around the country, that the research shows that large correctional type approaches to dealing with youth simply don't work. They're not making us safer, and in fact, they're having the opposite effect. They have very high recidivism rates, and many youth are being locked up who simply don't need to be in those settings. So the research shows that kids can be handled much more effectively in the community where they come from. We know that there are programs that work, services that can meet their needs much better than anything that could happen in a incarceration setting. So Texas, again, to use this as an example, one of the strategies that legislators in Texas used was to reduce the number of kids who are locked up. So they said that no longer could kids who have committed misdemeanors be put in state correctional facilities. they had to be handled at the county level. The legislators also gave a lot more funding to the counties to keep these kids close to home and to provide them with appropriate services.
That funding question seems like a key. A lot of people are talking about reforming the prison system in part to save money at the state or federal level. But if there are community efforts as alternatives that are underfunded, does that run the risk of making things even worse?
Absolutely. You can't just transfer the problem from one from the state to the counties. That doesn't work. The money needs to follow the kids. The kids are expensive to lock up, and they're going to be expensive to treat at home, but not nearly as expensive as locking them up and not nearly as expensive as doing the wrong thing and ending up with high recidivism rates. So, yes, there will need to be an investment in programs and services for these kids at the county level, but you will end up with much better outcomes, and you'll save a lot of money in the process.
Talking to Michelle Deitch from the University of Texas Austin about juvenile corrections and reform of the way the system deals with young offenders. You mentioned programs and services. Do we know, Michelle, what works? What kinds of community-based, county-level services help keep kids out of reoffending?
Sure. I mean, for many of these kids, simply being placed on probation with a supportive probation officer can be incredibly helpful. Many of the kids need substance abuse treatment programs. And some of them need, more than some, a very large number of youth, the majority, in fact, have trauma in their lives. And it's very important to have trauma-informed care that can deal with those issues. A ridiculous number of them have been abused, both sexually or physically, and they need some kind of services to address those issues. We also know that there's a lot of overlap between kids who are in the child welfare system and kids who are in the juvenile justice system. So coming up with programs and services that can deal with that crossover population is extremely valuable.
We're coming out of a background in the 80s and 90s, tough on crime, three strikes laws, talk of super predators, where the movement was really toward more and longer incarceration, it seems like. What's changed among policymakers and maybe among the public where we're looking at moving in the opposite direction?
I think the public has come to understand that that first of all, research shows there's no such thing as super predators. That was really a fear that was leading to that concern. But in fact, the research shows that kids did not end up having those kinds of fulfilling those expectations. But the public has really come to understand that kids need treatment and services, that will help rehabilitate them and better protect public safety. We also know so much more now than we used to know about the teenage brain and how it's still developing. Kids' frontal lobes are still in the process of developing up until age 25, and that means that they're more susceptible to peer pressure, less able to control their impulses, and that they're also much more capable of rehabilitation than we might have thought in the past. So providing those programs and services and helping kids turn around their lives is a very successful effort.
Right. I've heard from other experts that often young offenders will just age out of the criminal justice system. They will rehabilitate on their own or maybe with a little help if they're not incarcerated that whole time.
That's absolutely right. But incarcerating them, in fact, tends to make those behaviors more a part of who they are.
Another piece of the puzzle here is that crime in general in the United States has been going on a general downward trend. Spikes in violent crime in some cities last year, including Milwaukee. But generally, we're seeing less crime. Is that true among young offenders in particular?
It's especially true among young offenders. The juvenile crime rate has been going down for many, many years now. And the number of referrals to the juvenile system, the number of arrests, the number of incarcerations, all of that is going down. And we're not seeing any concurrent rise in crime as those arrest numbers are going down. So, in fact, keeping kids out of the juvenile justice system and out of confinement settings has been very successful.
This is a huge question that I've had people have trouble answering, I know, but do we know why youth crime rates are down? Is this just statistical variation, underlying conditions, or are we doing something right?
You know, that's the million-dollar question. We don't know exactly why it's happening. There are so many theories about it, but we do know that that we seem to be on the right track in not locking them up, that we were doing things wrong for a long time. And as we have moved towards more community-based services and programs, we are safer as a community.
Michelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
That was Michelle Deitch. She's an attorney and senior lecturer at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas, Austin. We've been talking about youth corrections as Wisconsin faces scandals and staffing shortages in the state's youth prisons.
Coming up after the news, what does Wisconsin think of the federal government, President Obama, and the state's U.S. senators? We'll get answers in the latest Wisconsin survey. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.